Okay, thank you. We're going to move into listener comment now. And Lisa, you're the first one.
I just want to say something as I'm coming to the mic so it won't be taken away from me. But I think there needs to be direction given on how a report about the LSB should be given, because everybody has ideas about what they think should and should not be, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a report from the LSB. And I don't think... I think if it's going to be the chair of the LSB speaking, then they should talk about what happened at the LSB and not their opinions about what they think should and should not, because that was him talking. It was not necessarily the LSB.
I'm just saying
you need to give instructions.
We've got it.
Because it's not fair. I should be given in 15 minutes to talk about what I think should be going on,
and so should every other LSB member.
But I'm just saying, that's just not what that was. You need to give direction on what it should be.
We heard what you said.
Well, I want to make sure. Okay, because a lot of times you all don't hear what people say, or you just ignore it.
We have 2 minutes.
Anyway,
per person.
I want to.
Just a moment. Bill will hold up. You don't have the red thing anymore. A red thing. 20 seconds. When you have 20 seconds. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay. When I hear people talking about the Arbitrons, especially when I hear a foundation that is supposed to be the Pacifica Network and what they are supposed to represent. And when I hear people talk about they're going to be making changes based on what the Arbitron says and the Portable People Meter, and I hear this conversation going on, especially, and I'm not necessarily directing this toward that side of the room, but especially when I see so many people of color on these boards, and I don't hear one word coming up about all the dissension, all of the controversy going on behind the Portable People Meters. I don't hear anything coming up about how the attorneys general of New Jersey and New York sued them because they were so biased and so unfair in their reporting to people of color. You have organizations organizing around this issue because they say it's going to decimate radio stations that are geared and programming that's geared toward people of color, because they're going to use those unfair, biased numbers which were deliberately set up to do exactly what they're doing, to show that, oh my gosh, we don't have people of color listening to these programs. They're not relevant. So commercial broadcasters are concerned that that's going to be used against them. There has been so much going on. So much, in fact, the Media Rating Council won't even approve the Portable People Meters. Now, I don't know if that has changed, but you mean to tell me you're going to make changes based on that and not one word coming from any of the people talking about this issue? I ask you, and some of the people that I'm talking to, I see, are gone. But, I mean, why did our ancestors work so hard so we can get on these boards if we're going to go along to get along and sell our history out and not even bring things up that we should be bringing up? And that's one of them. But too many of you will go along to get along to just because you got your positions or whatever, and you're betraying your history, you're betraying your race.
That's time, Lisa.
Well,
thank you. Two minutes.
I have to say I'm reasonably disappointed, although you've tried your best as the head person, and there are good people here, caring people, and of course, somebody's got to be COINTELPRO here. Now, that's not funny. For an America, United States of America, to have been created as it has in the strangest way, and we the people, and we have elections that allegedly are fair, and all these things, and yet we're going to a 1984 police state, we're deep into it, and who knows what the future is. Now, I mentioned getting Ralph Nader to be a stimulus to this whole organization. Can you imagine if we had the right send out of material from the Pacifica Archives and photographs of Ralph, and I'm sure there's material, and we sent it to the media. It would be in all the publications. It would be on the radio stations. Hey, Ralph Nader is joining WBAI as its general manager before he runs again for President of the United States, because I firmly believe he is the one person or amongst the few people who can save our country and bring it to, if I say, a human socialism. Now, the thing is, we needed a development director. Who could be better than Armand DeMille? He's a wonderful person on WBAI. And I don't know. I try to appeal to him personally. He refuses. He's got his business. When actually, with the New York Public Library at 34th Street, in the science, the technology area, they have about foundations. And
that's time.
The whole thing could be worked out. He just have to go and schmooze with the donors.
Thank you. David Combs.
Back to the same thing about listeners. We had an event over in Brooklyn.
David, pick the mic up a bit. It's you're kind of tall and it's a little short.
We had a WBI had a during one of these coups, heck, the original coup, with Utrecht and all that stuff, had a big event over in Brooklyn. And so I went around, all of us went around, handing out things on the street. And what I did, I asked people, everybody I saw pretty much that I could get to, have you ever heard of WBAI? Do you listen to WBAI? About 5% had heard of it, and about 2% listened to it, or had listened to it. Please, you guys, in your own towns, don't believe me, make your own casual survey on the subway or whatever you happen to have, and do your own to find out how many people know you exist. The programming is irrelevant to those who don't know you exist. I think we have to hand out some flyers, very cheap. Now, the one thing you know is if it says WBAI at the top, it looks like an advertisement, and it'll get tossed right in the wastebasket 5 feet further on. So I believe it has to be interesting radio stations, non-profit, in New York City. And you list a whole bunch of them and programs they have. And once in a while, you mention a WBAI program. And on the backside, then you have a bunch of them. But the whole thing is, the whole goal in designing it is they take it home and keep it and put it on the refrigerator door because they find it useful. And you have some websites that are useful. And that's my contribution. I mean, we have to do something to get listeners. Everybody does. And you want to keep the WBAI in front of them on the refrigerator door if you can. So you make something useful. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, David. Lawrence Reyes.
Chair, I'd like to ask if all the board members please support those who support you.
I believe
before
so.
You start my time.
I believe we did.
Okay, I'd like to read it into the record as soon as the board demonstrates that they got the document.
Go ahead and read it in while we're fumbling around here.
All right. Ready, Chair?
Do we not have it?
It's on its way. Fine print, double-sided.
Yeah, that's it. It's double-sided?
Okay, we got it.
Okay. All right, this is a show that I support, and I get a newsletter. And in lieu of the newsletter, Some of Us Are Brave, a black woman's
radio
program.
Wait, can we start all over?
Is it
we don't
the
have to pay
U.S. anti-war movement?
Yeah, let's start again. Okay, so make the pitch.
Thank you, Chair. Some of Us Are Brave, a black woman's radio program moved to Saturdays at 11 a.m. I'm Lawrence Reyes from from KPFK. Back in March, last week we were moved to 1 p.m. by the interim program director, Alan Minsky, and the show was cut to 30 minutes. While we do not have a clear reason for this cut, we do know that times for at least three white programmers at the station will increase. The rationale for this will undoubtedly be financial. However, the spirit of community radio and the nonprofit Pacifica Foundation are not supposed to be financial. But alas, this is what they have become. Interestingly enough, Some of Us Are Brave has been preempted doing station fund drives throughout its history. make it almost impossible to consistently cultivate a spirit of financial support among our audience, even though a lot of you are still pledge and mention our name when you do. And we love that, and we love you for that. We were not consulted on this latest decision by the station management, nor were we given a chance to dialogue with station management. To say that 30 minutes is simply not enough time to give to the voices, views, and experiences of black women is an understatement. Gore Harrison, which airs Mondays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m., has been given a third one-hour show on Wednesdays. Lila Garrett, who hosts Connect the Dots on Mondays, has been given an additional 30 minutes for a show called Celebrity Speak Out. Ian Masters, whom Background Briefing broadcasted for 1 hour on Sundays for several years, now has primetime drive, thank you, primetime drive Monday through Thursdays at 5 p.m., in addition to keeping his one-hour show on Sundays. While it's fair and equitable about increasing the time of those who already have while talking from those who have so little, even dead white men are more valued at KPFK.
Thank you, Lawrence. Michael Vincent Crea.
Thank you. My name is Michael Vincent Crea. I pastor One World Life Systems. For those who weren't here earlier, we've all heard of the Christmas coup comedy players. Well, this is the first parody of the April Fool's tragedy parodies. Excuse me, please. No dead air time. I got it. Thank you. Like most BAI productions, dealing with older equipment sometimes requires our patience. I indulge all present.
He's got his tune.
Free and fair and... We can't say that anymore? Okay. WBAI, the University of the... We can't say that anymore? Okay. Information that you can use... we can't say that anymore. This is Hugh Hamilton at TalkBack. You can call 212-209-2950. We want you to have fun in our fundraising. Call 212-209-2950. And membership drives have been, there's a moratorium for technical reasons that we cannot speak about management. So let's remember that this is TalkBack, and we will gladly have you call 212-209-2950. This is you, Hamilton. Not you, me. I am you. You are not me. Thank you.
In all seriousness, a month after Dr. Seth Goldberg, first do no harm not only to an individual, but an institution based on peace, I forgave him. So I forgive each one of you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, my whole heart. We talked about heart earlier today. Some people, what does it gain? What does it profit a person to gain or to lose their soul in the process of losing their heart and mind? I would like to request that the board consider, this is a public matter, but consider in your executive sessions calling for the resignations of LaVarn Williams, Kathy Davis, and also Bates, all three of whom said they had an investigation of this act against me. It is costing
That's time.
The money. It is costing
Could you please sit down?
Members,
what makes you think that what you have to say is more important than what other people have to say? You are using their
Pacifica,
time. Please sit down.
Pacifica
please sit down.
I will. I would like to finish.
We've given him an extra 30 seconds. Would you please sit down? Why do you have more time than anybody else?
Because
who justifies that?
I can hear
Would you please sit down? Would you please go on back?
I will gladly give back the mic. I would like to know who's the signer in the room? Who's doing sign? We're supposed to respect disabilities? Because they can't hear. Obviously, we need a signer, please.
Next is Steve Brown.
His emails, which are...
Would you shut up?
...will be part of your problem, as well as Alex Steinberg...
Would you please sit down and allow someone else to speak?
...part of your problem. Fair warning, please address this.
Hello again.
111845-10 is not a present document. This is real, and this needs to be answered. You have shown your true colors today.
My comment spontaneously generated is that as severe as Pacifica's financial crisis may be, perhaps more debilitating is the one of polarization. Now, polarization is not all that bad. When the people at opposite poles oppose each other with arguments instead of with spears and bombs. At Pacifica, over a very long period of time now, argument has degenerated, and people on different sides, maybe in my opinion on one side, have decided that those who oppose them are not merely wrong or mistaken, they are evil, and they must be wiped out and destroyed. And as you can hear from not even the content of the comments, but just the tenor, the vitriol, the hatred, the screaming, the self-righteousness, Pacifica is in great danger if it allows this kind of, discussion to go on. It will destroy the foundation. It may make some money, but ultimately the three M's of Pacifica will be gone, which I consider its mission, its message, and its means of delivering it. They'll be worthless if the people involved are so hate-filled. Thank you.
What about your email that are so patriotic?
It's public comment.
Jamie Ross.
Can I be on the side?
You just have 45
minutes. Jamie Ross.
Hey, Jamie. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to my fair city, and thanks for coming and sticking with the board. It doesn't want to.
No.
All right, thanks. Thank you so much. Let's see, a few comments I'd like to make briefly. First, I'd like to thank our executive director for making the decision to make Berthold Reimers our interim GM. I think this was a big step forward for us. It's a great relief as a board member to have somebody who can bring information straightforward to the board meeting, such as how many premiums are still outstanding. It's a relief to know that we have somebody on that job. I feel more confident now. So thank you for that. Second point, Pacifica, as far as I can tell, is still not self-sustaining, which was the drum that I beat on for several years. It seems like, if anything, we're still going in the wrong direction as far as that's concerned. So I hope that you all are fundamentally focused on that issue, which really should be the first issue here. We need to have confidence that we're moving forward to make us more self-sustaining, which means, in large part, raising income. We need to make more money for our stations to survive, and we need a roadmap to success. And the last point I'd like to make is I'm very glad to hear urgency from our interim program director about bringing forward programming that's going to build listenership. You know, I do believe that our station, along with the other stations, are kind of stuck in a rut, that we've done the same things for years and we haven't built our listenership. So let's see. I do hope that this process goes forward and that the people in charge take care to do it right. I would advise people involved in that task to look for other successful listener-sponsored stations. Is that time? And to see how they do it, to look outside the foundation. There are other models out there. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Terrence Podolsky.
Hello, everyone. Well, I've been a member and a volunteer for a number of years now, WBAI. And, well, the last time I volunteered at the station coincided with the entrance of the new interim management. And what gave me a big disturbance was the fact that there was immediate censorship of discussion topics from the volunteers in the very conference room there. And there was banning of people from the station. You know, there's even someone on the board, local station board right now, who's banned from the radio station. Well, anyway, I received the candidate catalog and no election ballot from BAI, you know, and that's an issue right there. Maybe two fundraisers ago, I pledged and didn't get a premium, you know, and, well, I wasn't, you know, I didn't care so much about the premium, but the fact is that's an issue that's been going on for a while now. And as far as my... what I've observed is that the interim management and the local station board majority have an inability to establish partnerships with other stakeholders in the community, like student groups in the City University of New York. You know, you even have a program, I think, that has to do with CUNY, and they don't even, it's one time a month, probably a half an hour program. They don't even try to utilize that. And, the inability of interim management and the local station board majority to establish partnerships with well-known progressive community organizations like International Action Center or FIST, Fight Imperialism, Stand Together. These organizations are very progressive and very well-known and organizations that are probably doing better than BAI. And I think that interim management, especially the board majority of the local station board, need to redesign themselves and reconnect with the community where what gives the station its success. Thanks.
Thank you. Vajra Kilgour.
Good evening, everyone. I am unpaid staff at WBAI. I was a part of the Community Bulletin Board crew until the Community Bulletin Board was censored and informed that we would henceforth work under the close supervision of management, and we all resigned in protest. I am here to tell you that all is not dancing in the... There's oftentimes after a coup, there's a certain amount of dancing in the streets, especially by certain sectors. And some of those sectors at the station might still be dancing, but there's less and less of this feeling that, oh, goody, we have a new management. I'm here to tell you that I hear a great deal of distress, and it's not just about people being afraid of losing their time slot. People are wondering, well, what can I say that won't cause me to be censored? If the guy who pulled the chair out from under another guy is still allowed to come in the station, but the guy who had the chair pulled out from under him can't, then, you know, like, how does it work, really? You know, like, what's the basis for getting banned? Okay, the guy was swinging a sledgehammer is not banned, but somebody else who gave somebody the finger is banned. You know, like, how does this work? People are really, it's distressing to a lot of people. There are people who thought they wanted a management change who are very unhappy with the management change. So it's not quite all that, you know, all what you hear there. And I don't think that some of these ideas that have been floated before, we've heard them, the $1 membership, whatever, I think we need a lot more imaginative thinking. And we need a lot less of, I mean, you know, basically it's less even a producer's club than it is a PNB and LSB club and a little management club. And the other element of extreme unhappiness is what we refer to as the expletive deleted premiums, the ones that people have complained about that are totally off the mission of the station. I think what Pastor Cream meant to say was, and I'll paraphrase it a bit, what does it profit a station to gain the world and lose its soul?
And
the station goes to hell in a handbasket. It's not going to be much of a consolation to you that it happened to be your handbasket and you got to drive it.
Ray LaForest. Ray? Yes, I did say that. Who is he? Who?
Gail Dixon. All right.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I don't know all of you, for better or for worse. I know where where you're sitting, and it's a difficult job, anyhow. However, what was described as gratuitous anger is actually caring tremendously about something that is the backbone of some of the communities from which we come from. We are very concerned, and we hope some of you will stay behind and talk to us and find solutions to what's going on. And the problem is not just financial, because, we heard idea about the dollar. I mean, to me, that's not even understanding what a human being living with dignity functions like. And even if it worked for what kind of a station do we buy for a dollar? What programming are we talking about? Questions that were raised before, and I'm going to quickly go over some of them, is due process in terms of dealing with representation of members of staff, including unpaid staff. That is a rather unusual concept. It's a progressive. It's a progressive conceptually and practically, meaning it made you move forward in a real way. Terminating people's employment without telling them why, replacing them without having a process of posting jobs and having qualified people's qualification being well known by everybody. Programming, no matter what the merit, including Democracy Now, coming into New York City. And this is very important, because when we say that this is a station, clearly WBI is worth almost nothing without Pacifica. Or at least Pacifica is much more than the sum of all the stations that are included. Clearly, the kind of work we need to do has to be done by Pacifica and 100 and maybe 300 stations within this United States of America. But there has to be the soul of what New York City is, the struggle of its people, have to be represented on the air. So when you gratuitously, without consulting with anybody, and I'm talking about the management of WBAI, which was installed itself, and there's at least one person here who was part of that process, was put there as a hatchet person, has done a tremendous job. So what I'm saying to you is that not only we have to save this station, we have to save a progressive station that is relevant to what we do in the city. And I hope you always can stay, and this is very serious, and you can talk to us about how to do that.
Thank you. That's right. William Heerwagen.
Hello, William Heerwagen. I said it out in Berkeley at the last PNB meeting. I forgot to say it yesterday. You guys give me great material. I don't have to worry anymore about what I'm going to talk about. I might have to worry about how I say it. I get nervous. But, hey, you guys are great. It's like a comedy routine. I'd like to acknowledge the time, effort, and money expent by the people who travel from other signal areas. So far, we've had public comment from people from KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW. It's great. Welcome. Thanks for coming. Then I think some of the politics, let's call it, I don't know, is it internecine politics that come out in the, like the recalcitrant LSB motion and the violence motion at LSBs? The general counsel of your own organization spoke against you, that motion, saying it's not advisable, shouldn't do it, yet you did it. This is typical of the kind of thinking that goes on here. And then coincidentally, the same 6 months ago in L.A., I think Los Angeles it was, the same general counsel spoke on behalf for me. He didn't realize it was me, but the news retrospective that I did that caused me to be suspended, he says, is, you know, shouldn't have been a cause for suspension. It was a news retrospective, and 6 months later, a little over 6 months now, I still haven't gotten a response from management. At any, that's at the national level or the local level. I've written a couple of times. Maybe on the, now that's 6 months, I'll write again, see if I get a response. Then on the violence motion, there was somebody gave an example of what violence is. They said it was fist shaking. Sometimes, you know, if you get mad, you just go like this. Now that's going to be, you know, I shook my fist for people who are listening. Does that mean I really wanted to hurt somebody? I don't think so. Then our chair who came in,
that's time.
And gave a nice speech. The first thing he said that when I saw him in the room was he commented that somebody was making a personal attack, a personal attack. He shouted it out from the audience. I'm trying not to shout out anymore, but he can't help himself, I guess.
Bob Letter.
Well, we've heard some talk this evening about planned programming changes at WBAI, and I just want to really draw out the utter lack of process or any kind of community input or staff input that's been followed by the interim program director. And it's very similar and very alarming how it's looking like at KPFK from what we've heard tonight. There's a similar lack of process. And this is very parallel with the kind of top-down management dictation of decisions in general about removing people from the station, banning them, and so on. They're contrary to the mythology being put out, there actually has been a program council at WBAI for more than 25 years. It's been institutionalized through a union contract, successive unions, and was functioning right up until management was imposed on BAI last spring. And then suddenly the council stopped being allowed to meet and to function. That council is supposed to, by contract, to provide input and advice to the program director before she or he makes any significant changes and to evaluate how those changes are working. That entire process has been thrown, you know, under the bus. And so we have management by fiat now, and I really fear for what's coming now if the changes are going to be major and significant, that there is no indication that input is going to be sought on something as vital to the future of the station. And that becomes particularly important when this interim program director, we look at who's making the decision, the same person that has brought us one right-wing program after another. There was a 8-week special pilot that was based purely on bringing right-wing people to the airwaves because they speak against the system and the establishment. Not all critiques of the corporate and government elite are progressive, and you have explicit neo-Nazis such as David Icke, for example, who have been the basis for premiums that have raised a lot of money, and talk about, you know, throwing our principles, you know, away and putting money over everything. That is where this current management is leading us, and it's a disastrous course, and we better turn things around very fast.
Thank you. Menehes Saba, and my apologies if I didn't get the name right. Manije?
Hi, my name is Manije Savoy. I just wanted to talk about election. I'm not sure how serious the National is about election and participation of the listeners and staff in process and advising the station's programming. This has been my first year being on the board. I have been member of BAI since 1980, about a year after I started listening. But this time is the first time I was actively involved in the election in terms of trying to help our local election supervisor to get a program in New Jersey. I live in New Jersey, to have a candidate forum in New Jersey. It has been disastrous. I have noticed that all along people would not get response from our local station supervisor. Local election supervisor, but when I was involved, and from very early on, and also a member of the National Election committee. From early on, I announced that I'm going to help her to have a program. Three times, and I've been very sick in past 7-8 months, have two surgeries, three hospitalizations. But I tried to help her, and I volunteered from the first one. I said I would do everything and anything I can to help you, because I realized when she came to the board first time, I realized she has no clue what she's getting into. Then I realized, not only, actually, this past Friday when we had our meeting in New Jersey, I realized that she had never heard BAI before this. And she didn't know what BAI and Pacifica was about. She started arguing at one point when somebody asked me a question and I was answering before the program that you don't understand anything. You don't live in reality. You don't have commercials. That's how you get money. So this is the type of person we had. I tried two times. I went to the station from New Jersey, an hour and a half travel to the station to make card for the forum that we had. She had never arranged for them. And once before, I asked them if they want to do it. They didn't. Of course, at the same time, I did not get any support from the station either. Thank you.
Thank you. Gail Dixon.
That's Andrea Fishman, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over you. Andrea Fishman.
Oh, is there a Gail Dixon? I'm sorry. I thought it was my handwriting.
No, it's not that far off. Okay.
Okay. I'm not really here to give any news to the board. It's more like a cry from the heart. What I want to say is that this network was created as a war resistance, and by Lou Hill, as we all know, and it was created as a way to stop killing ourselves. And if we examine the mission of Pacifica, which is what I think we should be focusing on most of all, I know we say we are, but I think our actions are not really protecting the mission of Pacifica, which is to protect the public discussion. The public discussion is what will democratically save us. Lou Hill knew this. Our adversaries know it. That's why we have been involved in a taking down of the network for so long. It's diametrically opposed to the mission of the FCC, which is to control the public discussion. And I wish that we would make all of our decisions with that in mind, that we are up against an effort to dismantle us all the time. We are right now succumbing terribly to a divide and conquer strategy. This us and them mentality, this war at the station is killing us. I mean, Steve has referred to this already tonight. I think what we really need to remember is that we are losing the radio as a medium. Our programming has been demeaned and diminished for the last 20 years or so. So we don't have an audience. We have at least a generation and a half of people who don't recognize this medium as important to them. We are losing, through HD radio and other technologies, we are losing the airwaves for our own use. And I think that we should be focusing on making decisions to address the fact that that the FC regulations are controlling us. And that, I just want to finish this last point, and that without creating on the ground the community that's implied on the air and designing all of our decision making with that in mind, we are going to lose what was so precious to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Gail Dixon.
Ambrose Lane Sr., anti-poverty activist and radio host, dies at 75. Ambrose Lane Sr., an anti-poverty activist, who became a political and religious commentator as host of the talk show We Ourselves, on Pacifica Radio's Washington station, WPFW, died September 14th of congestive heart failure at Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore. He was 75. Mr. Lane, who had been a mainstay at, quote, left-wing WPFW, channel 89.3, since 1978, used his platform as the host of We Ourselves to champion social justice and highlight issues related to poverty and race. He served as a member of the Pacifica National Board, which oversees a network of public radio stations around the country. He also served as Pacifica's interim executive director in 2005 and 2006. I wanted to read this not only because he was my very good friend and colleague, but because as I listen to, I'll use the term vitriol also, in this room, you need to take a minute and think about the folk who almost did themselves in working to make sure that Pacifica was alive and real. It is a disgrace to all of them and to all the money that people have given to this network to sit here and be this divisive. Get a grip and think of Ambrose and people like him. Think of the gavel-to-gavel coverage of everything from Watergate to Clarence Thomas's hearings, and remember what this station, what this network is supposed to be about. I have no problem with the time, but I hope that people learn to be a bit more civil to each other in as they talk about wanting to come together and save the world. You're not doing too good a job. And that goes for the audience as well as this PNB. Get a grip.
Thank you. Serena Roberts.
I have a question for the chair. How much time is left?
You have 2 minutes.
That's not what I asked you.
What did you say?
I asked how much time is left in public comment.
None. Oh. We're over.
Okay, no, because I hear the GM is trying to get another 2 minutes to add to his 45. I actually have a lot that I want to say about BAI and these elections and the hypocrisy and the disappearing items from the board agenda and so forth. But instead, I'm going to read the piece on the Sisters in California from Some of Us Are Brave, because I think it's symptomatic of what's happening around the network and to people of color and people who are members of the oppressed communities that some board members don't want to hear again about. So I'm going to pick up from where Lawrence Reyes Rivera was reading. Lawrence Reyes. Luis Reyes Rivera is my programmer here. Sorry, I always do that. and an awesome poet. Okay, so I'm going to pick up from where Lawrence was reading. Even dead white men are more valued at KPFK. We're supposed to accept that there's no space for black women or revolutionary activists. KPFK has added a prison show, which airs immediately after Some of Us Are Brave. It deals with prison issues. It's long overdue. But the decision to place the prison show directly after the black woman's show was not an unconscious one. We don't know if that's the case. I'm sorry, the question is, was it an unconscious one? We don't know if that's the case, but we do know that both these shows cannot be heard anywhere else in LA, and both deserve a minimum of 1 hour to speak to the communities they represent. Likewise, Home From Home, which is geared towards immigrants and hosted by Christabel and Sia Boadi, airs for only 30 minutes. But it is immediately before Freedom Now. Freedom Now with Didon Kamati was moved abruptly to Saturday at 5:30, which itself removed Noticias Pacifica, which is a long-running Spanish-language news show, displacing it to a weeknight in the so-called Latino Spanish-language slot. Freedom Now was then replaced by American Indian Airwaves. The decision to put these communities, immigrants, Native Americans, Spanish, or indigenous people, I'm sorry, I know some people are very firm about the distinction, or Spanish language constituents is not lost on us. The Pacifica bylaws, the contract that binds the nonprofit Pacifica radio stations, talk about how programming decisions must be made in a fair and equitable manner.
That's fine,
apparently it's not happening in L.A., It's not happening in Berkeley, and it certainly isn't happening in New York or in D.C., where recently another programmer was disappeared from a slot with no notice, no discussion.
Thank you.